Now then, you're going to find more of the new experiences as you start practicing according to this suggestion made today. Daily, for 20 minutes, take a sense. And then everything that you experience in that sense, do not accept it as being external to your body. The body, you see, is never really there. You can't be experiencing something external to a non-real body. It's in the mind, just as the body itself is in the mind, both of the same fabric. Just sit there in the quiet with that as you hear those sounds or see those sights or taste those things or feel certain objects and know this is all in mind. Take one sense a day. And if you can, go to the next sense the next day till you've covered 5 days and then see if you have attained some degree of mastership, just the knowledge that I have found the world to be within me. And from that point on, if you do, the master within will take you out into the universe that is really there. In its own inimitable way, with no foreordained outlining by any human mind. That's the exercise recommended for this week. If you will, let's meditate a moment now. With the knowledge that there is no external world of any kind. Within my mind is the entire world that man has lived in. I'm not going to hold it up until it staggers me, like Samson holding the world on his shoulders. Or was it Hercules? I'm going to just release this knowledge gently within myself. Even now, dissolving that very mind which holds the world within it, into the one mind, the mind of the spiritual universe, where all is in a state of harmony and peace. That is what is truly here, divine reality. There are no persons in this divine universe. There's only pure consciousness, only children of light. All who walk here now in this invisible universe are the Son of Man. They have been raised up beyond the level of the dream. They are present at this very moment. They live, move, and have their being in the spiritual universe that the dream mind cannot see or experience. That is the universe in which myself now is. whatever God did not make does not exist in our real spiritual universe on earth. There are no exceptions. What God did not make does not exist. Whatever dies, God did not make. Whatever is temporary or transient, God did not make. Reality is permanent. Reality is present. The spiritual Son of Man is that reality. And only by learning to take the world into mind, in a sense to crucify the images, to redeem the world, are we repenting, returning to the spiritual universe which is our home. There is nothing in it not made by God of spiritual substance. And whatever appears to us of another substance has no reality. The five exercises, one daily, will help you come to a place where you can say, I accept this. You will find that you will not be frustrated to the point that you're always outside looking in and wondering where it is. You will find you have a method that clears the way for you. I think we can rest a while now and come back to the Christ message. We have always thought that the Pharisees represented some form of opposition to Jesus Christ. But we were looking through human eyes, the Pharisees were just too small, too unimportant, a segment. What was happening was that the Christ was meeting mortal mind at that area. And whenever mortal mind came through the Pharisees, it came through as an intellectual experience. The Pharisees represented that level of mortal mind which was both the intellect and the human sense of high righteousness. These were phases of world mind expressing. And these phases of world mind, called the Pharisee, were unable to perceive the nature of the man called Jesus Christ. And so what he would say, the Son of Man must be lifted up, this to them would be a rather peculiar statement, because all the prophets had said that God would, the Lord would rule forever. You could go through every prophet, and principally Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and Micah, Jeremiah. And they all said that the Lord would rule forever. Now here comes this man, Jesus Christ, saying, the Son of Man must be lifted up. And it was perplexing to the human intellect. The world mind was in opposition to the fact that Christ is the only identity on the earth. And the world mind being the counterfeit identity, it counterfeits the Christ in every possible way. And now the counterfeit says to the original, we're in John 12. The people answered then, 12:34, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Mortal mind, in the form of the Pharisees, is saying, who is the Son of... who is spiritual man? Never heard of him. As long as we live in the human mind, we continue to live in the dream which says, who is spiritual man? I never heard of him. I'm a human man. Who is the Son of Man that must be lifted up? And this is the abiding conflict in man's mind, as it clings to its own creation, its own personal self. It is crucifying its own true self by saying, who is this Son of Man that must be lifted up? We never heard of him. The prophets told us that the Lord would live forever. Where did you get this other individual called Son of Man? In other words, the mind of man is incapable of recognizing its own identity as the Son of Man. That's the nature of its dream. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goeth. And so we find that those who have become aware of and have tried to raise the Son of Man, the spiritual selfhood, are endeavoring to walk in the light, and those who have not, those who still walk in the constant knowledge that this that you see is me, they're walking in the darkness, thinking they know where they're going, but the Christ says they don't know where they're going. And so we are in a state of darkness or light, knowledge or lack of it, depending on whether we have re-identified this world and the people who walk upon this world, by whether or not we say they are the light or they are the darkness. If we identify them in darkness, then we have divided the Christ and we have identified ourselves in darkness, because there's no such thing as they are the darkness but I am the light. Your authority on that again, we will turn to John. In 1 John, the second chapter, 9 to 11, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother, meaning seeth his brother in darkness, is in darkness even until now. And he that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. It would be like saying there's only sun on my side of the street. The sun doesn't shine anywhere else. Or it doesn't shine in that ghetto or in that country. There's no such thing as a place where there is darkness. Spirit is light. And so we come to the place where we have to accept light everywhere, though invisible to human sense, and this is our way of walking out of the dream. That light everywhere is what is there, although your senses are telling you about sights and sounds and tastes and touches and smells. The light everywhere is what is there. And so identifying the light is the opposite side of the coin of bringing the world back into you in mind. This is part of raising up the Son of Man. Now you see the two sides of the coin then. On one side you're impersonalizing the error, the evil, the darkness, the material self. And on the other side you're impersonalizing God and seeing that all that is present is yourself. The light of being is everywhere, and the images we see in the light are not there. The training of the consciousness to rest in this knowledge is laboring in the vineyard. In Joel's chapter, Realization of Oneness, Living Principles of Impersonalization, chapter 6, quote, God is the true identity of every human being, animal and plant, of animals, vegetables, minerals, even rocks and stones, the salt, the self of you and of me and all living things in the universe. Now let's clarify this. Here's a statement that God is the self of everything in the universe. And this is the same as telling you to raise the Son of Man in you. It's telling you that God is the spiritual self behind everything in the universe. When Joel says God is the identity of every human being, you know what he means. And just for your sake, to be sure you know what he means, let me tell you about an inner experience I had in which a woman was allegedly dying, and I tried to reassure myself that God was the self of this woman. I was told in no uncertain terms that I am not this woman. I am God and I am no other. And the meaning was that there's no woman there, there's only God there. When Joel says God is the self of every human being, he doesn't mean there's a human being there which is God. He means that God is there and no human being. He means the way you are, there is God and no human being. The human being is the dream and God is the reality. It's taken 10 years before we could talk this way. God is where you are. And the you is not sharing that space with God. And it's only when you're willing to take this person into mind, just as you take the world into mind, and see that's the only place this person is, come finally to the place where only God here is accepted as the presence. You have lifted the Son of Man. When God, where you are, is accepted as the presence, that's the meaning of Christ realized. When you come into the knowledge that God, where you stand, is all that is there, you have just declared that Christ is your name. Jesus had reached the place where he could say, I am not here. All that is here is God. That's why his name was Christ Jesus. That's his meaning when he says, thou seest me, thou seest the Father. Only until you can know and practice that where you are is God invisible, and the visible you is but a concept entertained in mind. Only then have you accepted the Son of Man, the Christ, as your identity. Where God is recognized as self, that is Christhood realized. And where you are seeing sickness and disease, you're not accepting that God is there. You're accepting that you are there, or Mary Smith is there. Where you're accepting God is there, you know Mary Smith isn't there. And that's the meaning of God, is the true identity of every human being, animal and plant, of every animal, every vegetable, every mineral, even rocks and stones. You know God isn't a rock or a stone. He's telling us that where the rock and stone appear, they're not there. God is there. Qualities of God are being reinterpreted by world mind and then your mind and my mind into what we call rock and stone. Now this is difficult because it's self-annihilation of that self which is the dream self. It's practiced quietly and secretly. Until that self begins to bubble up, which is there, to replace the sense of self we had entertained. Again, Joel says, all there is to humanhood is a belief in two powers. Well, that's disposing of the whole human race pretty quickly. All there is in humanhood to humanhood is a belief in two powers. Without that belief, there's no human race anymore. There's only immortal being. You see, we go through the pangs of self-annihilation, but all we're destroying is that which never was, in order to come to the immortal self which is. We've been trying to have a physical person here as well as a spiritual self. And the physical, the mortal, we'd like to say is my temporary self, and then my spiritual is my permanent. But that's the division. That's living in the kingdom and the world, half in the dream and half out of a dream. And that's still the dream. All that's here is your spiritual self, immortal spirit without boundaries. And every day should be spent becoming more aware of that reality and more aware of the unreality of the forms around us. So that we trace the forms back to the invisible states of consciousness which produce the forms, and then go beyond those states to the spiritual self that is present, and always knowing that spiritual self is myself. When you have removed the sense of mortality, you have removed all evil from the earth. Because evil exists only in the world of man. There's no evil in the kingdom of heaven on earth. And because evil exists in the world of man, you can know that it wasn't created by God, the complete world of man, neither the good nor the evil. Because that which we call good today becomes sometimes evil tomorrow. Sick tomorrow, ailing tomorrow, fractured tomorrow. It never was good. It was never there. Now you walk in your spiritual selfhood only by breaking the dream of a mind which imprisons you in a physical selfhood. And so this mind cannot be continually used. It must be rested. You must dwell in your spiritual mind. You must be quiet to this mind and alive in that mind. The complete Christ experience shows that Christ never died. And the Christ of you is exactly that way, never dies. The flesh dies. The Christ is always alive. The illusion of the flesh must be captured by the silence of the mind, which is the creator of the sense of flesh. This is walking in the light, not in the flesh, not in the darkness, for darkness and flesh are one and the same. The Bible has always used words to camouflage what the unprepared thought could not accept. When it speaks of darkness, it means human flesh, material flesh. It means the physical world. That is the darkness. When it speaks of light, it means spirit, the spiritual universe. Walk in the light. Walk in the spiritual universe. Well, if you're going to do that, you can't walk in the spiritual universe and the darkness at the same time. And so this constant awareness that the darkness is the dream, the light is the reality, the spirit is the reality, and it is here. Omnipresence must become a realized living fact, a way of life. Everywhere is your spirit. Everywhere is my Father's spirit. Everywhere my Father's spirit and my spirit are one and the same spirit. You walk through the appearances of sin and disease, lack and limitation, but to you, if they are accepted, you're in the dream mind. If they are rejected, there's nothing to do about them other than to reject them. Because when you have rejected them by accepting the presence of the perfect invisible spirit, it is only a matter of human time before the perfect invisible spirit manifests as that which is not limited, lacking, sinful, or evil. All there is to humanhood is a belief in two powers. Those powers were the power of good and the power of evil. And when you are walking in the light, you do not believe in the power of good and the power of evil. You believe only in the perfect power of the light as a constant fact without variation. Here now is the light. And therefore, there is no other power present. I know they appear to be, but they appear to be only to the dream mind. And when the dream mind is still, then the power that is here can manifest through the divine mind, which functions in the absence of the false sense of mind. You might say that we're coming down to this. Is God present or absent in your consciousness? Is the Spirit, the light, present or absent? If you have an absent God, you have the presence of duality. And if the Spirit is present, is the power of spirit present? Is the activity of spirit present? If you have the presence of spirit, the power of spirit, the activity of spirit, then you know that the opposites are not here. Two powers disappear. They only function through the dream mind, which did not have the presence of spirit, the activity of spirit, and the power of spirit uppermost in consciousness. not in memory, in consciousness, practiced, lived in, believed in, something you can stand on. Remember, says Joel, the promise is that you are to bear fruit richly because of your identification with God, your Father within you. He's just told us that there is no humanhood, so your Father within you must mean who you are. Your Father is spirit, spirit within you. Your Father within you is your spiritual identity. And the within you is all there is of you. There's no within and without. Spirit has no within and without. When you're told about your Father within, you're told about spiritual selfhood. Your Father within is the Son of Man. The Son of Man, Spirit, your Father within you, is your identity. You will bear fruit richly because of your identification with God, the Father within you. What is that identification? I am that Father within me. You're talking about myself. And that's how we bear fruit richly. There is no God outside your being to see that you get mercy, justice, or kindness. No God outside your being. Well, when you come down to a statement like that, there's no God outside your being, it's told that your being is God. All right? Now, who can look for God, or who can say God is absent, except to deny who they themselves are? Who can say I'm sick, except by denying who they are? If your being is God, the Father within, the Spirit, who is sick? The false self. The second self, the dream self. The more we dwell on this, the more we'll discover that we shuffle off this dream self. God is never lacking or limited. My being is God. Who's lacking or limited? Every error, every evil, every fault, every problem comes right back to a denial of I am that self. And conversely, the rejection of the problem as an impossibility because of yourself is the way you break the dream mind. Again, says Joel, since God does not function in the human scene, no belief or faith in God will make it function there. So you can believe in God humanly all you want. Or you can have faith in God all you want. You still can't make God function in the human scene. Why? Because God will not enter a dream. And so we don't waste our time trying to make God come into the human scene. There is an invisible presence within you, which goes before you. As you withdraw thought and emotion, and let the inner invisible live and work through you. Again, we're right back to self. And so when the Master says, while ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light, he's telling us to identify as the living spirit called the Son of Man, the Father within, the Spirit, the light, and to reject that identity which is called the mortal physical self. Everywhere, as John told us, we cannot leave our brother in darkness and say, I am the light. And so we must look at each other, seeing the light that is not visible to the human eye. And that is how we circumvent this dream mind which wants to see the physical person. And we learn that the person standing before me is only in my mind. He's in the mind of everyone else who looks at him. That's where he is. And the me he sees, and the me that everyone sees, is in their mind. They're looking at me with a dream mind, and they're seeing the dream me. But the they looking and seeing the dream me, and the me looking and seeing the dream them, is the mortal man living in his dream world of Adam and Eve. Right there is self. And right there, even if an avalanche comes down at that moment, self remains indestructible, untouched, because self is the Christ, the living Spirit of God. And that self I am here and there and everywhere. And if they want to skyjack me in a plane, they're going to have to do what they did to Jesus. They're going to have to crucify a form in their own mind. Because there is no form in that plane. And the very plane itself, and the form that does the skyjacking, and the crew, and the pilot, and the passengers, are all in the dream mind that perceiveth not the invisible substance called the Spirit of God. And that's where you live. That's where you identify. And you take all of the planes out of the sky. That's your function. Wherever you are is the Spirit of God. Everything in that outer world for you exists only in the dream mind, which has no real existence. And right there, you replace it with the omnipotence of God. That's your Bible. The presence of God. The all-knowing mind of God. And you refuse to accept that the all-knowing mind of God can witness the terrors, the cruelties, the inhumanities, and stand there and permit them to continue to happen. Because that would be the way you continue to crucify God in your consciousness as the world does. Your stand is the other way. Because God is there, it can't happen. Because the power of God is there, it can't happen. Because the presence of God is there. Because the mind of God knows all and is there. That which we see is a world mirage, individually accepted, and you are out of the dream. And now you must be prepared to demonstrate it, to live it, to prove it to yourself, again and again and again, until you know that you're walking in the kingdom of God and not in the world. The world is the dream, the kingdom of God is the present reality. And it is perfect as the Father. Walk in the light. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. When Jesus hides himself from them, that means that the intellect cannot understand. It really departs from the Christ. Christ never departs from us. We depart from the Christ. But his phrase that he departs from them. Their departing from the Christ appears outwardly as Jesus moving away. You see, there are two comings of Christ. There really are. One is in the appearance of flesh, and the second coming is not in the flesh. The second coming is in the Spirit. And although the Pharisees were under the belief that there would be a second coming of a Messiah, and the world is under the opinion that there'll be a second coming of Christ Jesus, they're wrong. The second coming is Christ in the Spirit. There'll be no Lord ruling over this world. That's the whole meaning here. God doesn't function in the human scene. The function of God is to function as the living self of the spiritual universe. The second coming of Christ is when the Son of Man in you is lifted up. And there stands who? Christ. Yourself realized. And that's the second coming. Your own self realized by walking in the light. Finally, says Joel, we include the entire world in our realization of God as individual being. We do not recognize any selfhood apart from God. Well, we just lost a few skyjackers. We lost evildoers. We lost all of the villains, all of the murderers, all of those who we have thought were committing evil. What was happening? We were caught up in the world mind of the dream. We were seeing things that cannot exist in God's universe. And when we were seeing them, we were saying in ourselves, by the acceptance of them, that we were not in God's universe. And that God was not present where these things were occurring. That's the dream. Turn ye. God is present, and therefore this did not occur. God is present, and evil cannot be. God is present, and there's no flesh to deteriorate. There's no heart to fail. There's no bodily organ to go out of whack. There's no human being to go through the throes and trials and tribulations and the sufferings and the atrocities of the world. Why? Because the Spirit of God is present, and it is all-knowing and all-powerful, and it is all-love. Awake from the dream. You find that you are right in the kingdom of God now. You're walking in the light. All evil must be impersonalized. It cannot exist, because if it exists, you have lost God. If it exists, you have lost your spiritual selfhood. For though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. And so always we find that when the Christ appears, whatever the miracles might be, whatever the human eye may see, whatever happens, the intellect says, I need more proof. And so there must be more proof. The funny thing is that whereas in that day they relied on Jesus for proof, you're going to have to rely on yourself. The proof is going to come from you. Your inner self is the Christ, and it will furnish the proof that you may believe on that Christ. Everyone, says Joel, is a temple of the living God. There's no such thing as evil, then, in any man or in the mind of any man. Evil is always absolutely impersonal. Evil never becomes a man or a part of a man. Evil is an impersonal claim of a power apart from God. But the only mind is the mind which is the instrument of God. And therefore, the carnal mind is never enmity against God. The carnal mind is nothing. Now, let's re-identify the carnal mind. As a matter of fact, that word carnal mind is very fine, served its purpose very nicely, but it doesn't indicate that the carnal mind creates a dream. So if you'll see the carnal mind as the dream mind, you'll understand. The carnal mind incarnates, and that's what we see. The dream mind is that mind, and it is a nothing. once you know, the carnal mind is a dream mind, you don't have to call it a nothing. It's self-evident. This world mind, then, which has been called the carnal mind, the universal mind, and various phases of conscious and subconscious mind, this world mind is the dream mind, the image maker, which imagines what is not, and then broadcasts its imagination to itself everywhere, so that our individual minds take up the dream and see what the dream mind sees and wants us to see. This dream mind is a nothing, and we're dying to it. All there is to this dream mind is the belief that there is good and evil. When you overcome the belief that there is good and there is evil, you have overcome the dream mind. You don't have two of anything. You just have the perfection of spirit, the one undivided, invisible self called spirit. See how these exercises come during the week, and watch how it carries you along to the place where you're ready for the Last Supper. And its meanings will be very clear. Get rid of this world. Bring it into mind. You practically crucify it without trying to. And then you'll see what it is to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Spirit salutes spirit. And I thank you for being here today.